Hello and welcome to another episode of the It's Fine, I'm a Freelancer podcast. I'm your host, Lizzie Davey. I'm a freelance writer and strategist for e-commerce and software brands. So today's topic, I sourced some ideas from Twitter, and this was kind of the biggest one that came back. And it's a controversial topic in the freelancing world because rates vary so much. Everyone constantly has questions about prices, and it's basically a free-for-all because there's no governing body, there's no kind of set average rate that people should be charging. So this podcast is going to be a little bit different. Instead of me kind of talking through like a system or a process or how to, I've basically just got a list of questions that people have submitted, and I'm going to go through and answer those as best as I can. Bear in mind that the answers I'm giving are based on me and my experiences. They are not kind of a global response to these questions. And if you ask different freelancers these questions, you will get different responses. So first of all, I'm going to start off by kind of outlining my pricing story and my pricing strategy, and basically just like how much I charge. I'm in the process of kind of trying to gain transparency into freelance rates across the industry. There's been a ton of reports done on prices and stuff, but I really want to kind of put myself forward as a person who is constantly talking about rates, constantly talking about pricing, just so that it's not taboo. People aren't scared about asking. In my weekly newsletter, the Friday Freelance Tips, I share my revenue each week. So you can basically see how much I'm getting for each piece I'm writing for each client. And on Instagram, each week I do a reel with the same kind of information. So yeah, I'm really, really transparent about my rates, and any questions that you have about my pricing, like, feel free to ask. So I'm going to start by talking about what I used to charge versus what I charge now. I have been freelancing now, this is my 10th year. So this has been a long process of prices changing, the industry changing, just kind of lots of different things have happened throughout that time that have affected my pricing. But in the early days, I started my freelance life on Upwork, and I basically used to charge £25 a piece. And for me, that was a huge amount because I had been earning minimum wage in a full-time job before that. So I could write a piece in an hour, earn £25 an hour. That felt like a lot to me. Compare that to now, so 10 years later, my minimum rate for a piece is £700, and that's kind of bare minimum, around 1,000 words, no subject matter expert interviews. Basic research usually takes me about half a day to write it. So you can see that there's like a huge difference in there. And over those 10 years, the prices have kind of gone up incrementally. I think about 3 years into freelancing, I was charging about £150 to £200 a piece. And then it's kind of slowed down the more experience I have and the further along I've gone in my career, simply because I feel like there is going to be a cutoff point at some point. I mean, very, very rare that I'm going to find a client who's going to pay like £5,000 a piece. So there is an upper limit for like a basic article, I think, which is why my rates have kind of slowed down a bit now, and I'm adding in other services and different extras onto that to kind of bump up that rate. I do have a price list, a 2023 price list that I published at the start of this year. You can access it at freelancemagic.co/price list, and it basically just outlines my rates for different kind of services that I offer. So there is blog posts, there's copy, website copy, there are email sequences, case studies and landing pages and a couple of other services on there. And the rates on there are kind of like starting from prices. So they're not like, this is the rate for this, but it's a starting from price. And I do the same on my website. Instead of having like prices or no prices, I put rates starting from, because there's such a huge spectrum of what that price is going to be. So a bog standard 1,000 word article with no interviews and kind of minimal research with a really plump outline from the client is going to take me a lot less time than a piece where I'm going to need to interview four experts, and I'm going to need to weave in loads of examples and like create own like first-hand research. So That's why I include the prices start from on my price list and my website. So I get asked a lot how I work out my prices, and there is no system to it. There's no formula. The answer is it's just been trial and error over these past 10 years. You can see that my prices have varied hugely. I don't know if I was coming into freelance now, I don't know if I would still charge that £25. But for me at the time, that was good money. I considered that better than the job that I had just left. But what I do is, if too many new clients have said an easy yes to my rates and no one's questioned them, then I put them up for the next client that comes along. And I also do 2 price increases a year. I do one at the start of the new year and one in April at the start of the new tax year. And they're just small increases, so like 5 to 10% a time, nothing huge. And this makes sure that my rates are consistently increasing with the incredible rates of inflation and life. But the way that I, so the kind of the system that I have in my head that I haven't like published or I haven't spoken about, but this is kind of how I mentally figure it out, is I work out the ratio, like the work to price conundrum. So if it takes me 3 days to write a £1,000 piece, but it takes me 2 hours to write a £300 piece, then go figure. So my rates aren't as high as some freelancers, but I know how long it takes me to write a piece. And I schedule about a day per standard 1,000 to 1,500 word piece. And that includes kind of the back and forth emails, the edits, if there's a detailed brief that I need to look through, any documents that I need to check. And ideally I want to aim for a day rate of at least £500. So I know that I need to charge absolute minimum £500. And this is absolutely the bare minimum. Sometimes I write a piece quicker than that, but I know that it will rarely take me longer than a day to do a piece of that length. But then if you add extras onto that, like a higher word count or the need to interview multiple subject matter experts, then obviously that's going to take me over a day probably. So I price accordingly and I'll think, is this going to take me an extra half a day? Is it going to take me an extra full day? And then I'll price accordingly. So you get the gist. So that's my pricing strategy. I mean, it's not like set in stone, but I've kind of been doing this long enough to now know what I'm comfortable charging for, what clients are likely to say yes to, and how much I value my time and the amount that I would like to earn. So now I'm going to move on to some of the questions that I received on Twitter about this topic. There are quite a few of them, so the format I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the question and then I'm going to answer it. If you have any follow-up questions to any of these, then you can reach out to me on Twitter or freelancemagic.co, send me an email. I'm always happy to expand on these topics and subjects, especially something like this where everyone does have a unique perspective and kind of it can be scary asking people about rates and prices. It's just generally a controversial topic. So the first question is, what do you say when a client says this is just our standard rate for all writers? Can rates be negotiated and how? It ultimately depends on the situation and who you're negotiating with. So if the person you're speaking to is like the owner of the company, then often there is some kind of wiggle room. But if you're negotiating with like a content marketing manager or content marketing person who's not in charge of the budget, they don't set the budget, then it can be very difficult to negotiate on the price. But the short answer is yes, you can negotiate on price. You have to decide if you'd rather work with the client at the rate they're offering or if it's much too low. So for example, if a client comes and says, our rate is £300 per piece and you want minimum £500 per piece, can you meet in the middle? Would you be willing to work with a client for say £400, or is that much too low? You have to make that decision, and ultimately it's only going to be you who knows if you've made the right decision or if you're comfortable with it. There have been multiple occasions where I have negotiated like this, so my bare minimum 500 and a client has come in and said, okay, but we only pay 400, and maybe works thin, so I'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And then after a couple of times, I'm like, wish I hadn't done that. So from those learning experiences, I have decided to not go any lower than my bare minimum just for that reason, because I know that I will probably regret it at some point. The second question is, how do you package your writing services? Should it be per article, a set rate for 10 articles, or on a retainer basis? So again, I'm going to say it depends. It depends on your clients. I never recommend offering a discount for more pieces because it's still the same amount of work. So if you're writing 4 pieces for a client, why would you charge less for more work, if that makes sense? So I personally charge per piece, per project, but if I'm creating, say, 4 pieces for a client in bulk, and I can bulk do some activities, like I can just do one subject matter expert call for all 4 pieces instead of 4 individual ones, I will bear that in mind, and maybe I'll charge a little bit more for the first piece, so that includes the cost of the SME call, and then the rest will be at my usual rate. When it comes to retainers, I think they can be a good way to predict income, but they come with other downsides. So there's often like a lot of scope creep and maybe feeling a bit like you're employed by a client if you're committed to a set number of hours a month. There is another kind of framework that a lot of freelancers use, and that's called getting anchor clients. So they are the clients that you work with each month, but you're not signed into a retainer contract, but you know that you're going to be doing 2, 3, 4 pieces or whatever a month for them. And it's kind of consistent. I often sign into like a 3-month contract with a client, and that's not like a set number of hours or whatever. It will be 3 pieces or 8 pieces total, and at least that contract is in place to kind of secure how much work we're going to be doing. But they're not securing my time on a retainer basis. The contract is basically, it's on the basis of, if you give me the briefs, then I will do this work. It's not, I will set aside this time regardless of if you give me the briefs or not. And if, when it comes to charging per article, per set rate for 10 articles, I always say the same thing, like figure out how much you charge for one article and then times that by 10. Don't offer a discount for a large amount of work. Next question, what's a reasonable range of getting started rates? So I mentioned earlier my starting rates of £25 a piece. I was amazed that was the case, that I could get paid £25 for doing something I loved. When that price went up to £50, £100, £150, I was also amazed. Then I was amazed when I could earn £300 for a piece, and then I'm amazed now that I can earn £1,000 for a piece. So you get the gist. Like, starting rates are, they're different based on the circumstances you're coming from. So I was coming from a minimum wage job that I didn't really enjoy, so anything higher than that was worth it. But if you're coming from like a high paid corporate position where you're earning maybe like 60, 70 grand a year, you might need to replace that income, or you might only think that you're successful if you're able to replace that income. So it's all relative. I'm not gonna say specific rates, like what's a good rate of getting started, but I think the common ground for freelance writing at the moment is, don't take anything less than 10 cents a word, and that should be the absolute bare minimum. Like, nobody should be charging less than that, because it's just not worth your time. But ultimately, again, it depends on your circumstances. It depends if you're part-time freelancing, if you're full-time freelancing, what your bills are like, what your situation is like. Like, if you're living in Bali and want to work part-time, the rates that you are comfortable with may be a lot less than somebody who's living in like New York or London and has lots of bills going out. Next question, is it better to charge by time, words, or overall output? So I have an absolute favorite method of this, and it is overall output. Let's go back a step and talk about the 3 different pricing strategies that you can do as a freelance writer. So you can charge by the number of words you write, and this is often quite common, but it can limit you, or it can feel like you're adding fluff to pieces. So if a client has given you a limit of 1,000 words and you're charging per word, if you need to go over that, it can feel like you're very limited if the client doesn't have any more budget. Or if you've kind of written the piece in 500 words, but you need to get it up to 1,000, you might end up adding fluff and unnecessary content. But also the main thing about charging per word is that there is a lot more that goes into a piece than the number of words you write. So there's the research, there's any interviews you need to do, there's the back and forth with the client, there's your taxes, there's editing, there's your holiday pay. As a freelancer, we have so many more overheads than somebody who's employed, and all of this needs to be accounted for in your pricing. So charging by word is simply charging per word, and that's not accounting for everything else that you need to do in your business. The second strategy is time, and this is also a popular way for freelancers to get charged. So you're charging like per hour or per day or per whatever. I don't think per minute is a thing. But the problem with this is that the faster you get, the less you get paid. So more experience you have and the more streamlined your processes are, the less you get paid. It just doesn't make sense. And then also from the other side, clients might think that you'll drag out a project longer to charge more, or you might underestimate the number of hours it takes. There are so many things that can go wrong here, and ultimately there are only so many hours in a day. So there's only so much you can get paid. You're basically putting a limit on how much you can get paid. And then the third strategy, which is my favorite, is the overall output. So charging per project, per piece, per thing, basically. And this is my favorite because you're basically accounting for all of the work that's involved, not just the words or the time it takes. You're also accounting for like your expertise and anything else that you're bringing to the table. And there are no surprises on either side because you put that price forward up front and the client knows exactly how much they're going to be paying. There's not going to be like, oh, well, this took 3 hours longer, so I need to charge more, or, oh, I went 1,000 words over the word limit, so I need to charge you double. Next question. Some clients have approached me to create briefs and distribute content. How can I charge for these services? So I'm going to take this question as, how do I charge for services that I have never done before? And there's no simple answer to this because pricing really is a game of trial and error. When I do add a new service, or when a client does ask me to do something that I'm maybe not as familiar with and I'm not sure what I should charge for it, I'm totally transparent with my clients and I tell them that this is totally new to me. So it will be a learning curve for me, like how long it takes, how much effort I need to put into it, what kind of expertise I need to pull on, what kind of skills I need to use. But I'll start by estimating how much time it's going to take me and then add in a buffer and use that as a starting point, and then make it very clear that that price might change the next time we have to do it, because this is kind of an experiment for me. And like with anything, it's a learning curve. The more experience you have doing it, the more experience you have doing that task, doing that activity, you'll become more confident charging a price that you're comfortable with. Next question is, how do you handle clients who won't share a budget? I used to get so frustrated by this because I didn't want to put myself out of the running by charging too much, but I also didn't want to sell myself short. So if I was like, oh, I charge £150 a piece, and they're like, oh, well, our budget was like 400, but yeah, we'll pay 150. Like, I didn't want that to happen either, obviously. These days, I don't actually wait for a client to share their budget. I send my price list and share my base rates and ask them if that fits into their budget. If it doesn't, then we're not a good fit. If it does, or it's close, then we can enter some kind of negotiation if we are open to it. If a client does end up saying that my rates don't fit into their budget, I do ask what that budget is, like if they can share that budget. Because obviously, if they know that my rates don't fit into that, then they know what the budget is. And I'll see how far off we are. So if it's like 50 to 100 quid out, maybe I'll assess whether I really want to work with that client or not. But then if it's loads out, then it's obviously not a good fit. But clients who won't share a budget, I think, are often tricky to work with as well, because it means that then they might not be transparent or honest in other parts of the business. So I would just be wary. But also remember that you're a business, you're running a business, and you have a minimum rate that you need to charge. So you also have not so much a budget, but you have a monetary requirement. Next question. So as rates seem to be all over the place, what is the best way to determine what you'll charge your clients? What factors does it depend on? So I've touched a bit on how I price my services based on what I'd like to earn in a day, but there's obviously a ton more that goes into this. There are factors that affect pricing, like your experience and industry expertise. So if you've got like years of knowledge in a technical industry, then that can help you charge more. That being said, I know freelancers who have been doing this for a year, who charge £1,000 a piece, and I know freelancers who've been doing this for years and years and charge like £200 or less than a piece. And it all goes back to what you feel comfortable charging. So it's easy to feel comfortable sharing a price, and then see another freelancer charge more and instantly feel like you've sold yourself short, even if you felt very comfortable charging that price in the first place. It happens to me all the time, so I will put forward my usual rate, which I'm very comfortable with at the time, like I'm happy with it, and then I'll see like another freelancer post on Twitter or LinkedIn about how we should all be charging like £1,500 for a post, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I should be charging that much. But ultimately, I was happy with the price that I've put forward at the time I put it forward, and the client was happy with it, so that's what matters. But experience and industry expertise do come into play. Because clients will inevitably pay more for somebody who requires little guidance and minor edits. But if you can do that, so if you've been working in an industry but like haven't necessarily been writing, but you have like a deep knowledge of it, and you only have a couple of months experience freelancing, like why shouldn't you charge a premium rate? Our end goal is to make our clients' lives easier. So if you can do that within 6 months of freelancing, then yeah, charge premium rates. That's what clients pay for. They pay for ease, they pay for the experience of working with somebody who knows what they're doing and sticks to the brief and can deliver kind of publish ready pieces every time. Next question. Should we aim to have consistent rates across our client base, or is it okay to charge different clients different rates depending on their sector size or budget? So this is tricky because I feel like I'm disrespecting my clients that are paying my usual rates if I take on a client who pays below that. But I can see where it might differ depending on the size of the company. Because obviously like big enterprise level companies will usually have a bigger budget. But I mean, that being said, I have worked with startups like one person companies and independent brands who have had a bigger budget than large enterprise level companies. So it swings and roundabouts. I find that enterprise level companies often have like lots of red tape around their budget, and there's lots of like tick boxes that they need to check off before they can release that budget. So you might find that smaller companies are a bit more flexible on budget. If you want to charge less to attract smaller brands, then totally go for it. And it's the same with working with nonprofits or charities. They might have less of a budget, but you might be rewarded in different ways. Like it might make you feel morally good, or whatever. So like, I think this is the thing, like it's not always, yes, we need to get paid for the work we do, but it's not just about the money. It's about how it makes you feel, it's about the experience, it's about your life, like how it's impacting your life. So if you want to work with charities and you want to take less pay because you enjoy the work but they don't have the budget, that's totally fine. Like not everybody needs to charge the same amount, not all prices need to be the same. As not all that matters is that you are happy with the price you're charging and the client's happy with the price that you're charging. That's literally all that matters. So next question, how do you prove the value of your services to someone who does not understand the pricing system? This is a great question. It's really, really difficult to prove your value to someone who doesn't want to see it, who doesn't want to see your value. There are so many people who think that they can write, but if someone is in the market for a freelancer, they are literally asking for a freelancer, or they've responded to a pitch about you wanting to freelance for them, they either understand the value of writing or they need help freeing up their time or whatever. These days, I rarely justify my prices because I just don't want to work with clients who don't see the value in what I'm offering. And I have plenty of other clients who do pay that rate. And I think that it's just a recipe for disaster if I'm constantly like, but this is why I charge this, this because of this, 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 and this. Like it makes me feel bad about what I do. And I just don't want that. But I definitely did used to do this. I definitely used to justify my rates. And I think if I were to go back, I would position it as not justifying why they need writing help, especially if they can't see the value in writing, but more than that, the other intangible things that I'm bringing. So maybe they can focus on other parts of their business. They can relieve any content bottlenecks that they have. So instead of trying to prove my worth as a writer, which is really difficult if someone thinks that they can write, try and prove your worth as a freelancer and what benefits that will bring them. So you can free up their time without them hiring a full-time employee, for example. Next question. Effective strategies for communicating the value of your work to clients when negotiating rates. Yes, so there are tons of ways that you can communicate your value without actually communicating the value of your work. So I'm just going to run through a few of these things. And obviously I spoke a bit about in the last answer that instead of focusing on the value of your writing, focus on the value that you as a person and a freelancer are bringing to that company. But otherwise, you can use testimonials and case studies to show the value that you've provided to other brands. You can share any results that you've driven if you're offering results-driven services. If you're not, that's fine. You don't have to prove any results or anything if you just write kind of thought leadership pieces. You can also share 1 to 2 highly relevant pieces from your portfolio to show the kind of end result that the client is going to get. And that's kind of, you're showing the end value that you're providing. One thing that I have done that seems to have changed the way prospects view my value is I send a welcome packet when someone shows an interest in working with me. And this includes my processes, my prices, and other information about working with me. And it basically makes me look like I've got my shit together, which essentially makes the client feel like I will have their shit together too. So it's just adding an extra layer of professionalism. And it's, while it's not showing kind of the value of my writing, it's showing the value of what I'm bringing to the table with slick processes, how I'm going to make it easier for them. So you're not just selling your services here, you're selling like how you do those services. So you're basically selling the entire experience of working with you. Use that to highlight the value that you're bringing to the table. Next question, how do you determine your freelance rates and ensure they're competitive? So I've already spoken about how I determine my rates and how that's changed over time, but let's talk a bit about being competitive here. I think this is the trouble that I faced when I was freelancing on Upwork at the start, is that I was all about being competitive, like I needed to be the lowest, otherwise nobody would hire me. And obviously we know the trouble with charging too low, like you have to work loads to earn kind of a decent income. Often the clients that pay the least really, really don't value what you're doing. So they will often be nitpicky, will not appreciate your efforts and will generally make you feel like crap. But there are also issues with charging too high as well. So at some point, I feel like I'm going to price myself out of the industry, out of the running. I know that there are still like a lot of freelancers who are charging like really, really high premium rates for content. And I wonder like how long that will last, how many clients will be willing to pay that amount. So if you're charging a low rate, like yes, you'll have loads of like bottom feeder clients. But if you're charging too high, like is there going to be enough work? So there are conundrums on both sides of the coin. And again, I know I keep banging on about this, but what it really comes back to is what you feel comfortable charging, what price you're comfortable accepting from clients, and what rates and price you need to kind of have the business that you want and to pay your bills and to make sure that you have enough money to take time off and enough money to pay your taxes without being stressed. There's a lot of kind of not so much competition in the freelancing world, but like we're obsessed with what other people are charging, we're obsessed with other rates, other prices, and I think that's totally fair because it's not transparent. Like there's no set guidelines for how much we should be charging, and when that happens we're constantly questioning whether we're doing the right thing or not. But all I can say to you, like I'm not the oracle on freelance pricing. Like I have my rates and I've had success with them for 10 years. But all I can say to you is that you need to decide what works for you and experiment. Like the rates you charge for one client does not mean that's the rate you have to charge for every client from now on. You can change that. If you're not happy with it, change it for the next client. Or in a couple of months, increase your rates. There are ways that you can get around it. Like after all, we are running our own businesses. We're in charge of it. We are the people who set the rates, we are the people who choose who we work with. That's the beauty of freelancing. So that is the Q&A wrapped up. This podcast episode's gone on a little longer than usual, but I hope that you have found value in it. I'm going to be doing a couple more episodes around pricing just to kind of really get that transparency out there. I'm going to be doing an entire episode on non-English native writers. Obviously, I'm not an expert on that, so I'm planning on bringing somebody in to talk about that. So hopefully that'll be really valuable for any non-native writers out there. And I'm also going to do an episode on raising your rates, so how to raise your rates, how often you should raise your rates, how do you tell clients you're raising your rates, all of that good stuff. If you have any questions about those two topics, please, please do reach out to me, because I want to make sure that I'm answering the questions that you actually want to know in these podcasts. But until then, let me know what you think of this episode. You can find me on Twitter, I'm at Lizzie Davey, or check out the website freelancemagic.co. I reply to every email and message I get, so I will be back next week with another podcast for you.